There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Craig Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
Welcome back to another episode of Off Guard. I'm your host, Austin Rivers, along with my co-host, Pasha Hagigi, my guy. Feels weird. We're in the same house, but not the same room. I'm so close to you, yet I'm so far. I don't know how much I like this, but we're going to make what's due.
I feel really bad. I want to tell you right now, I feel really bad for all the play-in teams because you have Taylor Swift dropping an album. You have Drake going back and forth having beef with every rapper in the world, and you have all these issues. It's taken away from, you know, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Bulls. This is a week to shine, so I don't know how you feel about that.
It hasn't helped that both games were just, you know, it was a flop for the NBA tonight. And it's not the NBA's fault. You can't predict these games. Just sometimes it happens. It's one thing to have two games in one night, and it's another to have two games in one night both go bad. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We had the flop in the first game. We had the game. Miami blows them out. It just seemed like one team wanted to be there and one team was just happy to be there. And then you hope for a good competitive second game. And what do you know? The storyline is don't ever underestimate your opponent because this is a prime example. Chicago goes into Miami without Jimmy. And then what happens is when you expect to beat a team and approach the game that way, you end up in a situation where once it gets hard, you're like, wait, what? If you don't expect the game to be hard, once it gets hard, you're fucked.
The issue is, but for me, this is a play-in game, bro. This is not the regular season, Tuesday night in the middle of January. This is a play-in game. So if you're underestimating your opponent because Jimmy Butler's out or Zion Williams
is out, it's just natural. It's just natural. I've been there. I don't say this to criticize. I've been there. I remember being on the Rockets. We played the Warriors. It's like game five. I think KD goes down in the Houston series. And now they're like, without KD, we approach game six. Like, all right, we're going to win game six to force the game seven and beat him. Like, it was, even though we approached the game the same way, same routine, went to bed at the same time. I ate the meal that I knew would be clean for me and not cause any stomach problems. I shot this many shots. I listened to certain songs. I drove my certain car. I did everything the same. But subconsciously, sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes when you know, like, the other team's best player isn't playing, you're like, yo, we're going to beat them, man. Like, you feel that. And as soon as there's resistance, it's like, oh, shit. And again, I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm just saying that's what it looked like. It looked like that. Like,
I'll give you that for, you know, the Kings and the Pelicans, sure. But for the Chicago Bulls, you're playing the Miami Heat, and you've seen the, you know, we call them the zombie Heat. They're capable of anything. It doesn't matter who goes down.
That's fair.
For the entire playoffs last year, you know what this team is. And, you know, you told me something tonight. You said, Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA. Tonight proves it. You just can't. It doesn't matter who's down, what's going on. That guy, he's the star of the Miami Heat. That's what you told me tonight.
So this is why I say Spoelstra is the best, right? Because the backing he has of Pat Riley behind him, it's Spo's way or no way. Because Spo's way is Riley's way, right? Because it's really, you know, Riley's team. But Spo is a coach and it's like his spirit animal. He found the coach that thinks and operates just like him. He molded him. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it'd be like, to compare it, it's like when a player gets the ultimate green light on a team forever. It's like Steve Kerr and Stephen Curry. That's Spo and Riley. It's like Steph knows the system's through him. They're going to live and die through him. And he gets to go out there and just, if he gets a daylight, just an inch of daylight, he gets to launch one up. And it's just like, that's what Spo is, man. So like, they get their type of players and they get players that Spo can coach and they get players that Spo can control and not control, it's the wrong word, but guys that fit the bread of that Miami Heat mold, right? That Miami Heat basketball, their culture. They always talk about Miami Heat culture. And it works, man. It's effective. He's really good. And he's a really good coach too. He's a top tier coach. Who's the best coach in basketball? It's so hard to tell. So much of that is predicated on what your roster looks like, but Spo is consistently at the top, no matter what his roster looks like, to your point. Incredible, bro. What a, and you know what? We should have known better. You're right, man. Chicago should have knew. They should have knew, bro.
Yeah. You know how Spoelstra has the green light for a coach is the way he got into it with Jimmy Butler last year, the star player of the team. A lot of coaches probably don't have that leeway to do that. And they were cursing each other out in each other's face. That's how you know Spoelstra is like, this, I'm good. I'm comfortable in this situation. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to be fine.
I'm not going anywhere. So if we're going to have problems, we'll have to just figure it out. Or Jimmy, guess what? We're going to have to coexist because I'm not one of these coaches that you can just push out here. I'm not going anywhere. This is my team. Yeah. So like that respect factor, players buy in, man. That's why anybody who plays in a team plays well, because the easiest basketball for a professional athlete to play is narrativeless. I don't even know if that's a word. It doesn't even sound right. It just doesn't even sound right. This is the beauty of live. They're going to get all these little trinkets tonight.
If this wasn't live right now, we'd be looking at each other for at least 10 minutes, like narrativeless. Nope. All right, let's take this part out. Narrativeless.
No. So like 6-7 times a pod, I'll fabricate a word, but I say it so eloquently and smoothly that it sound, we have to debate whether it makes sense. We're like, is that real? And then we turn to Webster and it usually doesn't go well for me.
Well, no, immediately I get a text from our producer, Ben, and he's like, that's not a word.
It's not a word.
We let Austin run with it. Yes or no. That's kind of what we do. By the way, it's Angel Reese, not Angela Reese. You've been watching that one. He's been doing that one for 8 or 9 pods.
I got to get Angela Reese right. I keep calling her.
Reese.
It's Angel Reese. I just got it wrong again.
You're unbelievable.
No.
All right, hey, speaking of the Miami Heat, I want to ask you. Celtics Heat, they're playing each other again.
Yeah.
Here we go. This one looks like it's going to be, you know, a lot of it without Jimmy, if not all of it. Do you have the Celtics sweeping them? I feel like the Celtics have been so dominant.
No.
They're just waiting in the wings.
Miami thrives on being the underdog. They thrive on it. Their culture, they're like built on it the past couple of years.
They're getting those 8 and 7 seeds on purpose. They're thriving because they know they thrive.
No. I don't think so. I think that's just how good they are as a team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're a team that, and listen, it's hard saying that because this is a team that's gone to the finals. I mean, they've made some incredible runs, but through the regular season, they don't perform at a high level consistently where they're like going on these 15, 20 game win streaks for 20 games, a lot of games, but whatever. They're consistently just playing great basketball where they're like a top 2-3 seed to go to the finals. 2 times in the last, 3, 4 years, 5 years. So, you know, it's one of those things where, I don't think they do it on purpose, but all I know is every time they are an underdog, they outperform. They have a long history of looking, you have a long history of looking at that to be able to come up with your mind. This Celtics series, there's going to be at least a couple games that go their way. I could see it being a six game series. I think Miami might get 2. I'm not even kidding. They'll get 1 at home and 1 in the road. They'll just go in there and compete and make it hard for them and just take one. I'm just telling you, that's what they'll do.
I don't think the Celtics can close games. We talked about that. They're iffy when they close games. I don't think these games are going to necessarily need to be closed. I think the Celtics, win them in the first half.
We had the debate earlier this season on the pod, where we talked Tyler Hero, Austin Reeves. Tyler Hero played really well tonight again, but in this series, he really has an opportunity. We always talk about opportunities, everything in the NBA. Tyler Hero is really going to have an opportunity to be like a star. What he thinks himself as, how he approaches the game, which I love, by the way. I love his confidence. I love how, you know, confident he is in his game. What he thinks of himself, you know, he talks about it. I want to be a max player. When you talk about the new upcoming players, remember he said Trae Young and Luka, I want my name to be in that mix. I mean, this is what this young man has said, right? You got it now. You got the opportunity now. Run with it, brother. Jimmy's not out there. So when the game is 105, 105, 1 minute left in the fourth quarter, you're in the garden. It's loud. You can't hear. You're sore. You're tired. You're 6-for-17 that playoff game, and it's one of the games you haven't played well. You got to go get it done, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, they're going to play a team game. That's how they play. Miami Heat basketball is built on it. Best pass, next pass is always the right pass. But they're going to have to close games for you guys to even have a competitive chance. I don't think Miami can beat Boston in a 7-game series without Jimmy Butler. I just don't think it's possible. But I know how this team works and how they operate, and they can still make it competitive. They just will find a way. But I'm saying for that to happen, what an opportunity for him to really go out there. Who gives a fuck? You're not going to win, but go get loose, man. Go make it difficult. Yeah.
So you're talking about Tyler Hero. I was thinking, if the Heat lost this, even if they, you know, if they lose, they win tonight. I thought that would be a great landing spot for Donovan Mitchell. But of course, that's me putting Tyler Hero on the trading block again. And I feel like he's in some ways there. I feel really bad about that.
Obviously, they would be better with him. Tyler Hero is an amazing player. Donovan Mitchell is a proven perennial all-star. So that's not disrespectful. Obviously, with them, with him there, they would be something to look at. They still need a point guard. I would like them to have a point guard. You know what I mean? But Tyler Hero holds value. They got a lot of guys that hold value in that team. And it seems like whoever they plug and play, it just works out. I don't know. That's interesting to talk about. But yeah, Hero has an opportunity.
And you have to think about the Celtics now. You know, I know you're kind of hyping up right now how good Miami could be, and they're still scary, whatever. If you're a Celtics fan right now, you got to be pretty happy because you're getting a Heat without Jimmy Butler in the first round. But in the second round, you're getting Cavs Magic, the winner of the Cavs Magic. Magic unproven, one of the youngest teams in the NBA. The Cavs, it's like they're just a really fragile team. Like we just talked about Donovan Mitchell potentially, you know, being gone this summer. We don't really know their best five, their best lineup or anything about the Cavs. So if you're the Celtics right now, you're thinking these first two rounds, it's shaped up pretty well for them. You're avoiding the Sixers. You don't have to face a scrappy Knicks team or Giannis or anything like that. So it looks pretty good for the Celtics, and they deserve it. You know, they were the best team all season. They ran away with it.
Yeah.
It looks like a pretty open run for them, right?
100%. I mean, it's built for them to have a chance to get back to the finals and compete. I mean, you look across the landscape, you know, New York has their second best player down. Miami has their best player down. Milwaukee hasn't been able to figure out, and they've been dealing with a handful of injuries. Giannis isn't even available as of right now. It's built for them to go back. So they have to really take advantage of this opportunity. When we look at always the champs, something always folds their way. You always get your luck. You need a little bit of luck. And right now they have it in front of them. They just got to take it. So, it'll be interesting to see. I'm still going to tune in the series just to see how Miami approaches it. Cause you know, they're going to make it difficult for these guys. They're going to just play hard as hell and just be a pain in the ass. That's just how it works with the Heat, man. And I say that respectfully. I actually want to get a poll. Can we get a poll of, do we believe, I want people to vote on this. Can we get people to vote? Do we believe Tyler Hero will average more than 24 points per game, 24 or more a game for the series in the playoffs without Jimmy? He's going to get a different level of attention. He's going to be person number one on the scouting report. They usually go to Jimmy for 25 minutes of practice. Then you get 10 minutes of Tyler. Then you got to get this guy. He's going to be the 25 minute guy. You know, we're in scouting practice in the ballroom, you know, 4 hours before the game, before we lead, and coach is going over the, you know, plays again. And someone's got a shirt that has Hero on it, and we're chasing him around. It's going to be designed to slow him down. It's different. Different. It's different when you're the guy. 24 or more a game. I would like to see a poll. Yes or no. What do you guys believe?
By the way, and you go from Hero. By the way, Hero misses, you know, the entire postseason run last year. And he goes from that to being the feature main guy in this play. What a change for him. So we're going to be, like you said, we're going to be able to see him kind of flirt. I mean, we saw him in that finals run his rookie year. You know, he was balling out.
By the way, the guys who are going to be guarding are going to be Derek White, Drew Holiday, and Jaylen Brown. He has his hands full. I'm just telling you. He's got his hands full.
Yeah.
Paul.
That's tough. So Daniel Torres wrote in the chat, Jaime Jaquez and Nikola Jovic are getting an invaluable run during this. So their young players are, you know, they're getting some good experience. When I think about the Heat, I don't even think about, you know, their young players and their future. It's so funny. I just think they're always going to be able to retool. They're just that good of a franchise, man. On the other side of things, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, they flamed out. You know, you're the 10th seed, you get blown out in the 9-10 game against a Bulls team that I don't even know what's going on with the Bulls this year. Kobe White being the only bright spot, no offense to our guy Vooch. With the Hawks, you just don't want to see Trae Young come back next year in a Hawks uniform, do you?
It's time. I mean, we talked about it before. I think Trae needs to reset his future. I know he had an idea of being that one team, his whole career guy. There's a lot of prestige in that. Honestly, also, Atlanta's not a bad place to live. If you really think about it, all the things they got going on there, just in terms of, you know, what you can get bang for your buck, good restaurants, vibrant city, multiple, you know, professional sports teams, good nightlife. He's not single, but if you are single, the woman there, they have everything lined up for you to want to be in Atlanta long-term, but he's got to look out for the best of his career at this point. It's not going to move there. All right. You've been there. You did a great job too. You led that team to multiple playoff appearances. I'm sure from an ownership standpoint, they probably look at it like, man, this guy has been invaluable to the franchise. Look how much money we've made since he's got here. He's an asset. So you got to tip your hat to Trae Young. With that being said, it's time. All right. You need to go somewhere else and like just rebrand and like get a fresh start, man. Like go get something new. Go play with somebody else. Go team up with someone else. I think it just works. I think DeJounte fits better there, and they can try to put him as a guy that could be, I'm not comparing him to Shea Alexander. I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm not comparing him to Shea, but he could be the Shea to Atlanta where like, oh, you got that guy in that mid-20s, upper 20s can give you the buckets while we try to find some youth and develop and rebrand. And then if it goes well, like Shea's case, you draft well, you get some, and then, you know, obviously Presti built that a little differently, but with all the picks he has, but still Atlanta can figure that out. You know what I'm saying? The Trae Young experiment is just like, you might be able to trade some picks for Trae Young. I don't know what you do there, but
right, listen, you got your team, you brought them in. You have everyone there healthy. You know, DeAndre Hunter, you know, Bogdan Bogdanovich, one of the best six men in the NBA. You topped out at being a 10 seed that lost by a lot to the Bulls in the 9-10 game. That Eastern Conference Finals run feels like a decade ago. What are you hanging really on to, does. Man? I hate when teams run it back, but what are we running back? Yeah. Listen, I'm a firm believer. I think Trae Young, somebody is going to get really lucky and get a more mature version of Trae Young. More of a, you know what I mean? Like he's going to learn how to, you know, play a little more efficient basketball and not just have that heliocentric basketball. I think someone's going to end up getting a really good player down the road.
I'm selfish for this because I know they're trying to rebrand and they're young and it's just this guy's first year. I want him with Wimby. I think Trae Young and Wimby could be special. I think he could make Wimby even better. Plus he'd be really, I mean, he'd be coached by Pop. It would just be, man, all that shit that you're talking about, you know, any of the little issues that people have in his game, that's getting nipped in the bud over there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Wait. Also, you're not the star. You go there, you know. Also, I think it's really important when people know their role. Okay, I go to the Spurs. This is Wemby's team, and I think that's going to be really good for Trae Young's game.
It would allow him that humility. Great point, Pasha. That humility would allow him to just let his guard down and just go have fun and just go hoop. Because it is Wemby's show. You're still great, bro. You're Trae Young. You're a star, man. Wherever you're from, you're a legend. You know what I mean? Like you're a what is he? Barely even 6 foot kid who dominated in high school, won every damn award you could win, went to college, dominated college, lottery pick, multiple all-star, max contract. Like, bro, you've done everything, man. You know what I mean? Like, I guess the only thing not on the list would be an Olympic medal. And that even a lot of times people could say it's been controversial against you. You haven't even gotten a fair shot with the USA team. And that's fair. But everything.
And you're not making, Trae Young's not making this US team.
This USA team was Avengers. The Halliburton one, I'm happy for Halliburton, but that is
Kyrie.
You can argue that's a chemistry issue or that's a cultural thing. That's not a player thing. Because if we're going off strictly, we need the best players. Kyrie Irving's a better basketball player than Tyrese Halliburton. If we're talking right now in a game tonight, I'm asking you, if your life's depending upon it, would you rather have you rolling with Tyrese? You rolling with Kyrie? I'm telling you who I'm rolling with, bro. And I love Halliburton. So this isn't Halliburton hate. I think I think he's great for the team because the team already has so much talent and already just so much. You need a Halliburton. He ain't gonna care whether he plays a minute, or 10 or 15 or 20. He gonna be there smiling, providing good energy. And if his name is called Tyrese, he can hoop. He gonna go in there and do his thing. Halliburton ain't no slow. He was one of the better players last year in the FIBA games. That's why him and Ant are back. So
right.
I have all the respect of the world. He's had an all-star year this year. Much respect to Tyrese Halliburton. No disrespect to him, but I'm just keeping it a buck. I'm just saying, bro. I know, man. I play against this guy, bro. I am telling you, Kyrie is just, he is different in terms of just like, if you need a reminder, go YouTube Kyrie Irving FIBA. He was really, really good, man. He led the team as the best player in that team when they won FIBA gold. He dominated the tournament, dominated. But culturally, within how he acted, and I'm not saying he was doing the wrong things, just from things that I've heard, it just wasn't what they really wanted around this team. So you talk about real Isaiah Thomas treatment, you know, that is something similar of that sort. The difference here is it's not like a player called saying, you know, obviously they have rumors that Michael did that. He called, he's like, I don't want him on there. Michael denied it. So that's like, whatever. No one knows what happened there. Yes. But Isaiah wasn't on that team. I met the criteria.
But I wasn't selected.
But I wasn't selected. And everybody's like, yeah, he didn't make the criteria. I mean, he was the best point guard at the time. I mean, because Magic was a little older at the time. I mean, but yeah, anyways.
Also, we don't talk about this enough either. You know, Anthony Edwards and Haliburton. Let's say Haliburton, maybe there's a guy that was better than him. You have to worry about the future of USA basketball too. So you got to put, you know, Haliburton in there because.
But that's why I said Olympics, Cooper Flag. I said Cooper Flag, and people were like, oh, you're a dookie. I'm like, bro, listen, he's going to be the best player in college basketball this upcoming year. It is what it is. So, although, yeah, I don't know. It might be a little young for Cooper.
But, it was a spicy hot take when you said it. It got some clicks. And then today, that's what ESPN wants you to do. So I think you're doing your job.
Listen, we've seen it. They did it with Anthony Davis right after. He obviously played a full year of college first. And so that's the difference. It, you know, he hasn't even gone to Duke and dominated yet. So, you know, I understand why people are like, yo, at least he got to go to college and prove it. Anthony Davis was player of the year, bro. You know what I mean? Kristen Laettner was the best college basketball player in America. You know what I mean? Like these guys were proven and then they joined the USA team. Like, you know, Cooper's only dominated high school. He's dominated it, but like, let's let him see to go to college. If you want, we'll just wait and let him do it. He's going to do it. I don't know if you guys watched men's college basketball this year. It will happen. He's going to go to college and dominate, bro. It's just going to happen. Right. He's a mix between like Andre Kirilenko and he has like some Gordon Hayward mid-range ability. People forget, you know, Utah Gordon, he really got in that bag and could score. He has that, but he has like Kirilenko like attributes, bro. The way he blocks shots and rebounds and has a feel for just being around the rim and scoring. But anyways, yeah, I thought it'd be cool if he was on the USA team, if they brought a young guy. I only bring that up because you talk about, you know, investment in the youth. You know, our roster's already so loaded, like the dream team was. Remember, it was so packed that the 12 guy, they're like, yo, let's just give this guy, he ain't playing anyway. We got right. Michael and Magic and Brett, like, then he not getting in the game. And then if they sub out, or we got Pippen and Malone, like, this team, bro, like, I'm telling you right now, that's why I say, even Ant, as great as he is, like, bro, when it's 2 minutes left in the game, Stephen Curry will be in the game. LeBron James will be in the game. Kevin Durant will be in the game. And then Joel Embiid or Anthony Davis, one of those two will be in the game. After that, you only got one spot left for all those other guards, bro, whether that's a Drew, whether that's Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, because it's not like you need the scoring. You got enough out there. So it's just like a lot of guys you think are going to have, like, we're hearing these names, like, bro, I haven't even said Kawhi Leonard will probably be in the game. You a bench Kawhi Leonard? Like, what? You need to stop in some EuroLeague basketball? You put a claw on the floor. Like, he's going to be in the game. Think about who USA is going to end the game with. Can I ask you who would be your five that you would end the USA game with?
I mean, the obviously the big three, they have to be out there. I'm probably going Anthony Davis as the center.
And Kawhi. Or no, because you don't want Steph running the point. You want Steph
being you run with who's hot. I think, you know, however the game's going. I think that's because everyone's so good. Whoever's feeling it that night is probably the guy that you go with.
Kawhi. It's either going to be Kawhi. I mean, yeah, you get the big three out there, and then it's going to be AD or Joel. And then the point guard is going to be, or whatever position, because it's depending on how you play Steph, because he's going to be out there. It's either Book and Ant, or you go like a Drew Holiday, just to have like a good guard. He's going to be solid as hell out there. Drew would just be like, Drew's going to finish some games. I can promise you that. Just for his defensive ability and because the other guys are such superstars, you need one guy in there that's just like pure next pass. You know what I mean? Like Drew would go in there, not even look to score. He'd be aggressive enough to hold his own, but he'd be out there just to make the offense work because he already got so much, bro. Like what the fuck are you going to do with LeBron and KD and Anthony Davis or Joel and Steph Curry in a lineup, bro? Like that fifth guy has to be, sometimes you need a little bit less for it to, for the team to be more. That's why a lot of times, you know, you had Andrew Roberson, Andre Roberson starting over
Stephalosha started over
James Harden because sometimes it's too much. It doesn't work. You know what I mean? Like Devin Booker might come off the bench and be like, yo, when these guys come out, like Devin, you come in, like we need you to be aggressive to score. Like, I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe that's Ant. They might put a different person in that lineup to just make that first team. Cause we know who's going to be playing.
Let's go back to the playoffs. So I don't know why that was my fault that we got on the dream team for a little bit. That was my bad. That was definitely.
That's what we do. We talk basketball. We get lost.
My bad. Okay, so I want to ask you. We talked about the Hawks. You definitely think they should end the trade?
I think they need to go a different direction.
The Bulls. DeMar DeRozan is a free agent. You have Vooch for a couple more years under that contract. And he makes $20 million a year. Listen, you have something special in Kobe White. We love what he did last game. He was a little off this game, but he did a couple moves this tonight.
We looked at each other like he's really comfortable right now. You could see how confident he is in his game. Even trying some shit like that. I'm happy for him. He's really hooping. Most improved player of the award, by the way. I know everyone gets to Maxi, but he was already like a kind of a star last year. You know what I mean? Yeah. He was like a borderline all-star last year. So it's just like when he made all-star game this year, it's like, okay, well, James wasn't there. It was just going to happen. So technically, I get it. He did go from 20 to 26. That's a big jump. We talked about.
I guess you could have predicted Maxie's jump, but no one was, unless you were Kobe White's family or best friend. No one was predicting what he was doing, man. Last year they were playing Dragic over him. They were doing anything Kobe, not play Kobe White.
Kobe White felt it just feels right.
Right.
Turned the awards about. The most approved. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what do you do with Chicago? You re-sign DeMar. You want to lose the asset? You don't want to run it.
I think you re-signed DeMar. To see if you can move him for something. Maybe you test what his value's out there first. I'm sure right now they're asking people, you know, putting that interest out there. I'm sure they put feelers out there this year just to see where his stock was at. Maybe not even to really, I mean, obviously they didn't move him, but his name was in talks. So they know they got a good temperament for what his value is within the league. But at this point, you can't lose him for nothing. So let's try to bring him back. It's an asset. Let's not lose it. But you look in the market, see if you can bring somebody in. But I think essentially they need to rebuild. They need to just restart, man. It's just time. Kobe White's still young enough. Let's see if you can trade some of these assets that you have that are valuable. Zach LaVine, Vujicic, DeMar DeRozan. Let's get as many picks as possible and let's just run it up. And we got Kobe White, a young point guard. Yo, it's your show. We're not going to be that good, but guess what? You're going to get to shoot the ball a lot. You're going to get to play a lot. We're going to pay you a lot. Do you want to do that for the Chicago Bulls or not? Any hooper in America or any NBA players aspired to be the star player for Chicago Bulls, you'd be out of your mind to turn that down. And he won't, because remember, he was not supposed to be here. He came here. He's the most improved candidate. We didn't even think he was going to, and he's turned out this. It's all been through this system under Billy, under the team, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be good for them to rebuild. I think you would agree with that.
All season. I want to talk about the Western Conference a little bit because we haven't talked about them yet. All season, you have been downplaying this Oklahoma City Thunder, this run they've had.
Don't do that.
You've been doing it all. I'll be like, hey, man, Timberwolves, Nuggets, OKC. You're like, it's not even close. Like, you're just, no, it's okay. They're young. You're just not a believer quite yet. You're a big Shea guy. You love Chet. You're not a believer quite yet, right? You think they're a little too young.
I love Shea as a player, and I love Chet as a player. I think those guys are fun to watch, and they both can hoop. I like Williams as well. And they have a variety of cast of good role players that play hard and play well. They're well coached.
You told me they were going to be in trouble first round this year, no matter who they played. They're playing the Pelicans without Zion. It looks like.
They'll be fine.
I don't know what's going on. Hamstring injury. So you're taking it back. The Thunder are not going to be in trouble.
Pelicans might steal a game, maybe even two. I doubt it, but I think they'll steal a game. And I think the Thunder win in five or six. No problem. I said they would be in trouble more specifically if they ran into the Lakers or if they ran into the Warriors. I really did believe that. I believed if the Warriors were able to just will and win a game, and then you got them finally in the playoffs with this monkey off their back, and they just got to kind of be, they got to be the underdogs and just got to go out there and just compete and have some fun. That team would be dangerous in a playoff series. The experience that they have, they would make that extremely interesting. And I think the OKC would be in some hot water. I'm not saying they couldn't win. I'm saying it's very possible for them to lose. That's all I've said. There's like this unbeatable badge in the NBA. And what I'm telling you is they don't have it. Okay. I'm telling you, there's only like one team in the league that has it. And if you want to put two, we could put two. Denver has it. And I'm telling you, Boston has it. With that being said, anything can happen. I mean, anybody can beat somebody, but
it's been a trendy little pick online that they think the Lakers might be able to beat Denver. I don't know if it's my algorithm. A lot of Lakers people, I don't know what's going on. They're like, they're playing their best basketball and Denver's not as good as last year. And they, this and that. Do you think the Lakers have a chance?
The Lakers have a chance, but I still think Denver just in a 7-game series just wins. I don't see them losing 4 times. I really don't. I think Jokic is the best basketball player in the NBA. I think he has his guy still around them and they're not as good as last year. They're not, they're more vulnerable. They're missing, you know, Jeff Green mattered to them. All right. Bruce Brown mattered to them.
A lot. Bruce Brown was a big part.
And losing them was very underrated. All right. And I love P. Watt. I think he's a talented young player. So I love him. Reggie Jackson's got more tick this year. We strangely didn't get really like any time last year. And then now he's been like inserted into the lineup, but he's played well. But all in all, they lost 2 key role players essentially. There's a little vulnerability with that. They can lose. So we'll see, you know, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. You know, I do think Denver's the best team in basketball. And if I had to choose 2 teams, I just got to lock in. I put all my money on it. Denver and Boston kind of have the unbeatable badge. Obviously it's basketball. It's a competitive sport. Anything can happen, but, the Lakers, I am hearing that though. I mean, it's there. It's out there. It's real. It's in the air.
Lakers, yeah, they're not quiet. Lakers fans aren't quiet. So you finally came around. You think the Thunder are going to win. You finally picked them to win a series. I'm proud of you. But then they have to play the winner of the Mavericks Clippers 4-5 matchup. You don't have OKC beating either of those teams, do you?
OKC beating who? I'm sorry.
The Mavericks Clippers, winner of that one. You don't
see, that's my point. You're with me. You know that they're really good and they play good. I haven't seen this young team. I'm not saying just for people listening, man, because I don't want to come off as like a hater. I'm not saying that they can't. I'm not saying OKC can't go. I'm saying they won't. I'm saying I don't think it will happen this year. I think they had a really good regular season. This is their first time all in the playoffs. I think they could have some success, bro. If they go to the conference finals, I don't want this to be a thing where people are like, yo, Austin, you have to eat your words, bro. Listen, they got an MVP caliber player on their team. They got really, really talented young players around him. Like they had the best record in the Western Conference this year. They're clearly really good. Could they go to the conference finals? They are the one seed. So like, it shouldn't be a shock to me or anybody else. If they were able to make it to the conference finals, they're the one seed. So like, bro, they're really good. I'm not downplaying them. I'm just saying due to their youth, bro, they're vulnerable. They get loose. That's why when you picture them like in a 7-game series versus the Clippers, you're like hesitant about it. You're like, because you know what the Clippers have on their team. They got experience. Their whole band of guys that they rely on are guys who have been battle tested throughout the playoffs for years and years and years and years. That means something. You can't overlook experience, man, especially in the playoffs, bro. But you know, listen, they got some good players over at OKC, so we'll see. But I'm not hating on them. I'm just saying I think they're like a year or two away from being like where they're going to the finals and winning. I do think they're going to end up winning a ring or two. I really do. OKC, yes, I know. But I don't know if it's this year is what I'm saying. I think some of these older teams could knock them.
Two teams I want to talk about. Obviously, they have to make some big moves this summer. Sacramento and Golden State. You see Steph, I guess, said, you know, Draymond, we're not done, this and that. And you wanted to talk about dynasties and where they rank. Do you think this is the end of their dynasty? A lot of people do. You want to talk about where their dynasty ranks as far as, you know, all time. And I know you have a lot of opinions on that. You don't think they're a top 3 dynasty of all time.
Top three dynasty of all time.
Even though you think the 2017 team is the best team you've ever seen in your life and competed against.
I'm not putting them top three dynasty of all time. If we're talking about 1 year, what was the best team ever assembled in the NBA? It was the 2017 Warriors with Kevin Durant. They were the best team in the NBA. Point blank period. I don't want to hear it. If I had to put all my money on one team to go against any other team in the history of the league, I'm going 2017 Warriors with Kevin Durant. That's my belief, and I'll stand by it. When we're talking about dynasties and a team success, that's a different thing. They are in my top five all time. They are actually still. I'll tell you my top five right now, actually. And then we can run through it and tell me what you think. If that works for you. By the way, you know, it's one of those things where you try to be not too much of a homer in terms of being a new age dynasty guy. Like you have to tap into like the history of the NBA. But within that, we have to look at facts. Okay. So I don't want to offend people when I say, these are my top five NBA dynasties of all time. Hate it or love it. Here we go. All right. Number five, we got the Lakers. 2000 to 2004. Four finals appearances. Obviously, they won three of those in a row. Being a three-peat matters. Being able to win, come back the next year and win, and then come back the next year again and win, it's like, guys, damn, at that point, like, you know, people outside the NBA are like, is someone ever going to beat them? You know, you start worrying a little bit.
You start, back then, they didn't have those hot takes on ESPN, but it would have been, are the Lakers bad for basketball? Like,
that would have happened. Like, it got a little like that with the Warriors at one point. People were like, can someone please, other than the Warriors and Cavs, make the finals? It's been like 4 or 5 years. Like, it's getting, something's got to happen here. It's like right. LeBron and his cast of whoever versus like the mighty team in the West. Like, something's got to change here. But anyways, Kobe and Shaq, as dynamic as a duo as they've ever come, they're on the list. That team was so damn good. They had a good mix of young talent, Kobe, et cetera, with great veterans and the most dominant physical NBA athlete we've ever seen, other than probably LeBron James. And he's in the conversation with him. That is Shaquille O'Neal. We've never seen a man of his size move the way he does. We never have seen one before or after. We've never seen a man. Zion's him, but guess what? Zion's like a whole bunch of inches shorter. Shaq is a monster that we've never seen before.
I'll help you out right now. On NBADraft.net, we both love the website. You go to these college kids and they'll give you their NBA comparison, right? I've never seen anyone be compared to Shaq.
No.
So he's the one of the guys.
You know what it's called? They call the person Baby Shaq. Like, they remember the big baby Glenn Davis? They were like, he's baby Shaq. You know what I mean? He wasn't like, you can't compare to, nobody can be compared to Shaq. Anyways, that's number five. Number four, truly yours, the Golden State Warriors. 2015 to 2022, six finals appearances. They won four times. Correct?
Right. Yes. They lost to the 2016 Cavaliers. And they lost to the Raptors when everyone got injured and went down.
And everyone got hurt. Otherwise, they would have won that Raptors series. I hate saying this, but they would have won in like five games, probably, if that whole team was fully healthy. But hey, listen, that's the way it went. And the Raptors played well and captivated everybody in that moment by winning that championship that year. With that being said, four out of six in an era of LeBron James's prime, one of the, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time, Steph Curry, two-time MVP. And then you add a former MVP, Kevin Durant, on the team to round out the mix with Klay Thompson, Draymond, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, even the year they lost before, the year they didn't win to the Cavs, they broke the record, the Bulls record, for how many, for most wins in a season. 63? What was it? How many wins they have?
73-9.
Yeah, I'm tripping. 73-9. Yeah, 73-9. So, you know, Boston has 60 right now.
Can I tell you something right now?
I think Boston got like 62.
Both dynasties you mentioned right now, they both ended by players feuding. Shaq and Kobe feuding. Draymond and Kevin Durant. I think that's kind of what did it, right? I mean, you agree with me on that?
That scene versus the Clippers changed everything for them. He's done it twice. Okay. And I love Draymond. I got all the respect in the world for him. We came in the same draft class. But he's done it twice. He's been a great deal to their success, but he has been a great deal the other way. He caused the youngest talented player they've had since Stephen Clay. They chased his ass out of there, and now he's in DC doing God knows what. And then they chased the greatest scorer we've ever seen put together on the basketball court, Kevin Durant. Chased both of them away. At some point, and then he has audacity to get Clay in the podcast like, how do you feel when I get thrown out of the game? I'm like, Dre, bro, come on, man. What do you think they feel? They're like, God damn it. He's the best, man. He's so, the guy is comedy. But yeah, that team was great. Dre was unbelievable, man. He's dominated the defensive side of NBA basketball and just being the perfect role player for a dynasty. Draymond Green is a perfect example for every NBA player, every basketball player out there. And I'm not saying to have a game like Draymond. I know Draymond doesn't get the oohs and ahs skill-wise, but knowing your role can change your life. And Draymond has exemplified that better than anybody else ever. And did a great job with that team. That team was loaded. He comes in as a pivotal role in that team. And that's why that team is four for me all time. I know that's, listen, I like I said, I got the Lakers 2005. I got the Warriors ahead of them. That team was just so good. They won 4 out of 6. Number three, we got the Spurs. All right. We don't talk about them a lot because they're not sexy, right? They didn't have like the go-to guy that sold all the sneakers and was on all the commercials. Their best player was big fundamental. He was quiet. It's Tim Duncan. 6 finals appearances. They won 5 of them. And the one they lost, my God, they should have won. I was there at that game in Miami. I was there. The confetti was getting ready to drop. They brought the stands out of the tunnels. You could see them getting ready to set the stage. The game was over and they tricked that shit. I've never seen a team more defeated after that game. When they lost that, seeing them walk to the locker room, I was like, oh, game 7's fucked. They lost. You could see it on their face, bro. They're like, yo, we just threw away a ring. Right. With that being said, they went 5 for 6 and they dominated, man. Popovich, it's what built modern, and I have to add this, the importance of what they've done in basketball. To the Warriors' credit, they're at number 4 on in my top 5. They changed the way basketball is played, the way people chase threes. We know that, right? They changed basketball. They just did Steph, the Splash Brothers. Everyone tried to copy the cat. Half of the NBA and their coaches is under the Spurs umbrella. Steve Kerr himself is a Spurs product. I can go down the list. My father is a Spurs product. I can keep going on how many guys have floated under the Popovich Spurs banner and what they've done, the success they've had in the NBA and the success they've had grooming coaches, basketball players, finding players, underrated players that they've won 5 out of 6 times in the finals. They are my third top 5.
My issue is, first of all, I love the Spurs run. Listen, one of my favorite stats is Tim Duncan's never won less than 50 games in a season. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Incredible. Shit. They never went back to back. It just really bothers me because everyone talks about, and every time you hear an interview with Michael Jordan or Kobe or anyone, they're like, that second year when everyone's coming after you and you had just won and everything, it's so hard to go back to back. It's almost impossible to go back to back, and they never did it.
But the list isn't the most dominant. It's just the best dynasties of all time.
Well, it's Austin's favorite. That's what this list is.
No, but listen, if we did most dominant, then you have to put the Celtics that won in the 50s all the way into the 60s because they won 11 out of 12 times. Even though there's only eight teams in the league at that time. But if we're just going off most dominant, they dominated that era more than anybody. They have to be on the list. I'm sure. Saying just the best dynasties, man. Like that team was good every year. No, they didn't go back to back, but every year in the playoffs, they made it difficult for somebody and they just did things right. Everybody copied them. And then when they had a team that they put together, they'd make a run and just go win it. They had a dynasty. They grabbed all these players that no one's ever heard of and they became legends. Ginobili, Parker.
And what really seals the deal is that 2014 team that they didn't have their main go-to guy or anything like that, right? It was kind of like Kawhi Leonard. I think he got finals MVP averaging like 12 points a game. It wasn't that crazy, but they were the most together that team.
Crazy to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but he's like, they stopped by LeBron James. LeBron James averaged like 35, 17, and 12. They're like, anyways, I don't have to do that, you know. Anyways, more of the story is this. That 2014 team really solidifies them as a really good dynasty. So go ahead, go to number 2.
Number 2 is the Lakers. 1980 to 1991, 9 finals appearances. They won five times. Losing four is a little alarming because you're almost at 50-50 there, right? But still making the finals nine times is in a span of 10, 11 years is incredible. You're just dominating. We're talking about the Showtime Lakers. What are we saying here? Do I need to go into anything? They just had a show started about them on HBO. It got canceled. It was, they're Magic Johnson, Kareem. We're talking about some of the greats of all time that have ever touched the floor. Self-explanatory. Do I need to say number one? You want to get into it? We all know it. Sure. Everyone knows it. Yeah. It's the team with that guy on there. You know, isn't it a coincidence? Isn't it a coincidence we talk about the best dynasties of all time and like he happens to be the best player in this team, right? The Chicago Bulls, 1991 to 1998. They went to the finals six times. Pasha, how many times did they win?
They lost to Orlando Magic. They lost to Orlando Magic in 1995, and that's all that matters to me. So.
Yeah, the year he just got back and he had a weird number, and it was all around. One game they didn't even have his jersey. It was fucking crazy going. That wasn't even like a full year.
He still has nightmares of Nick Anderson.
So much so that ball. They came back the following year and smacked them. And then one proceeded to win. No, I want to think about this. They proceeded to win three straight, and then he said, you know what? I'm good. I'm just going to quit.
I'm under really good authority that Shaquille O'Neal was already going to the Lakers during that 96 season when he was on the Magic. He was already telling people he was doing his own thing. They lost because they knew what was up.
The following year, the Bulls came back and dominated the regular season. Everybody's like, yo, this is the best team in the NBA. Michael's back. He's now like, he's got his full win again. Like, we don't stand a chance. And guess what? They smacked everybody again. And then they won the next year. Then after being an arguable second member, it was like, it was mad that he didn't win MVP his last year. This guy snatches Russell, hits a game winner. He's in his prime. And he's like, you know what? I'm good again. I'm out. And we got robbed. We got robbed of like 5 years of Michael. Of like right after that. Like just going straight into it. I know he came back. But still, like those years, man, like that changed everything. This debate with LeBron would be more because we can't go career versus career because what LeBron's done is it's unanimous. He's had the best put together career. When you look at statistics and what's black and white on paper, there's nothing that's been more impressive what this guy's done in the game of basketball than LeBron James. And to be at his age now, still dominating what he's doing, it's just, you can't even deny it. But when you just know and look at what LeBron or what Michael's done in the dominant, just how he was, man, like it's just, their team was unbelievable. They had the best dynasty of all time, right? Last Dance is the best documentary ever made sports-wise. Maybe arguable is OJ, but that's for different reasons. This was just this team captivated the world. They changed basketball. It got people to pick. I mean, Michael is Michael. So those are my top five. Lakers, Warriors, Spurs, early Showtime Lakers and Bulls. That's a good dynasty. Who else can you ask before you judge? Who would you put on the list and take out?
Well, you just didn't talk about, it's not a dynasty. I don't know. I mean, the Celtics in the '80s won three titles.
I know three.
Larry Bird, obviously.
They won three.
I understand. Okay. Well, I was just your name. You want me to name people? I think the early 2000 Lakers. I remember those years. I just feel like no one else had a chance. Maybe the Kings so in 2000, who would you put, who, 2003 or who would you, 2002. I mean,
you put them at who? You put them?
No, I don't know. I just think they were just dominant.
Let me ask you this: are they ahead of the Bulls 1991 and 1998?
No.
Okay. Are they ahead of the Lakers?
If Kobe and Shaq got along.
That's the problem, Pasha. Kareem and Magic made a little, you know, they were never best friends, but they made it work. They went nine times and won five.
Kobe and Shaq won combined three more titles without each other after that dynasty was done. So obviously they had more in the bag.
I know that, but that's part of the, you can't say a reason why they didn't do something and be like, well, they would have done it. They didn't. What are you talking about? They didn't get along. And because of that,
2003 Shaq. 2003 Shaq's one of the, is maybe the best player of all time. The guy was unbelievable.
I'm not debating that, but it ended weird. He left and made a song, Kobe Has My Ass Taste. It got weird out there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the Bulls never had to play a center like that in the finals. I don't know. Before we close,
you're looking at the biggest Kobe stan here. You know I am. You know what? Sure. What did I say? What did I say about Kobe? What year did I say Kobe was the greatest player to ever play?
Like the 2016 that they didn't make
2006-7. I'm just talking about from an individual standpoint when the guy's getting double teamed.
Smith Parker Kobe's the best player of all time. Is what
double,
you told me.
He's getting double teamed.
Best player of all time. Can't make the playoffs. Pass it,
turn left, left hand three. Incredible. He was 81, 62 and three quarters. Like, right, the way the guy, he was unbelievable. He was the best scoring, just offensive specimen, a killer instinct.
Yeah, I like when players make their teammates better. And Chris Mim and Smush Parker were just.
I hear you.
They were begging for him to step up. Anyways, listen. First of all, I want to ask you something. We have a lot of Magic fans that listen to the pod from Orlando. What's it going to take for them to beat? How do they show me the roadmap? How do they beat the Cavs? They play tomorrow at 1 o'clock. It's a big deal in Orlando. The whole city's coming out. We haven't been this good in a really long time.
Well, it's in Cleveland, no?
Yeah, but the whole, it's 1 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday. Any sports bar is going to have, it's going to be good. How do the Magic beat the Cavs?
You know, listen, honestly, they have to bet on what they built their culture on. They got to outscrap them. Cavs are a little bit more pretty of a team. They got a dynamic score. You know, Garland likes to be free in the pick and rolls. He don't like to be touched. You know, Allen and Mobley are great rim protectors, but they're skinny. They can be moved. They can be pushed. They got to be physical. The Magic have to bet on what they do. They got to go outwork teams. You got to go outplay teams. And then ultimately, like I said, when the game comes down to the crunch, you know, you're going to have Garland in there handling. You're going to have Donovan Mitchell closing. Paolo and Franz are going to have to be what we advertise them to be. And those are young stars, right? Which they will. They're good players. I've seen it. I've seen Franz raise that level. I saw it the other day when I went to the Bucks game. This guy was stealing, picking passes, dunking, talking shit. Told Pat Beverly he's too small. I mean, doing the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's what you want. You want competitors. And we've seen time to time this year, Paolo hit big game-winning clutch shots, big shots down the stretch. You know, he's going to have a real opportunity to do that here, and he's going to have to. So they got to build, and they got to bet on what they've done, and that's play hard. They got to buy into that culture, which we're going to go playoffs, and we know everyone plays hard. We're going to play even harder. We're going to play so fucking hard, they're going to be like, yo, this team is ridiculous. They just diving on the – I mean – Suggs, all these guys that we know are these grit and grind guys, they got to come shine. And then ultimately, most importantly in the clutch, Paolo and Franz got to come through. That's how they can compete. That's how they can win this series for sure.
We have some news about the pod coming up next week. We have Seth Curry coming on. He's going to be going to be a playoff correspondent. He's going to be talking to us. We're going to have a little segment with him, you know, maybe 10 minutes an episode. And we're going to kind of talk to him about, you know, his views, his analysis on the playoffs. So,
probably more because you know how it goes. We get talking with someone, it ain't gonna be 10 minutes. Seth's gonna be here having a good time. We're gonna get a glass of wine in his hands. We're gonna have a little vibe, talk some basketball, watch some playoff basketball, make it some good fun. He'll be a great guest. Obviously, this is a guy who's been around the game. He's born around greatness, whether that's his older brother, who's the greatest shooter to ever play, or his dad, who was a marksman himself and had a great storied NBA and basketball career himself. You know, Seth has had major success in his own right and has had a really elite, fruitful NBA career where he's carved out his own niche and is a hell of a shooter as well, man. Something is in the water over there. I don't know how that works.
I think he's top five all time in 3-point percentage. Yeah,
I don't know what they do. I don't know what Dell does. I don't know how he does it. I got to have a talk with him one day and maybe just like buy him a steak and a beer and just be like, yo, bro, I need the recipe. What did you do to get your kids to shoot like that? I'm going to do it with mine. What the hell did you do? You know what I mean? But yeah, he'll be on the show. He'll be great. He'll be fantastic. So we got a lot of fun stuff coming, man. This has been great.
Yeah.
It's exciting, man. The playoffs are here. You know, we got a lot of teams in the mix. We have our favorites on each side. You got Boston, you got Denver, but they're not so favoritable. Like, we don't have that team like the Warriors, right? The dynasties we just talked about. There isn't a team that were just like, yo, nobody's beating them. Like, there was a time where the Warriors were like, yeah, ain't nobody going to beat them, but let's just watch. You know what I mean? We don't have that now. Denver's really good, but like they're not even as good as last year. And there's a little.
If Denver wins again, though, we're going to have that conversation. Are we in the middle of the dynasty?
You have to do it, though. Of course. We'll have that conversation, but they have to do it. So until then, like right now, and just how it's looked this year, considering they're not the number one seed and other things, we've seen them be beat. We look at their bench. There are some questions. They have some talent, but they've lost some key players. Like it's there. It's open right now. It's kind of exciting. I don't know who's going to, some team that we're not talking about right now is going to like get hot and play well. It's just going to happen. And we're going to be like, yo, this team's, and one team that we're talking about is not going to play as well, that we've been hyping up. And we're going to have to come on here and discuss that. So the playoffs always reveal. They always reveal every player's true colors. They always reveal how good a team really is mentally, physically, where they're at. You can't hide in the playoffs. It's the best. It's the best time of the year. So I'm excited to close this out. I'm excited to have guests on, such as guys like Seth. This has been great. The playoffs will be more entertaining than what we saw tonight. All right. We had two blowouts.
Hopefully.
We got these guys are at Coachella next weekend. I'm calling it now. I'm going to put a spy watch right now just for any player thinking about going. I'm going to get you. I'm going to have people out there with some cameras. Who already had their Coachella tickets booked? Who's going to go watch Travis Scott next weekend? Or Drake, whoever performing at one of those things. Someone's going. Because the way I saw two teams, like, do we really want to go? Do we want to go play Boston? Do we want to play going KC? Or do you just like, do you want to just kind of go home now? You smelled it. You saw it too, Pasha. Saw it. Both teams got down big and they're just like, all right, I'll go home.
Right.
You don't want to see that.
Do you have any pet peeves, anything that's been irking you that you want to leave us with? I haven't heard you complain in a while. I haven't heard you complain in a really long time.
The way you portray me as this like compulsive, like God. I'm not Larry David, bro. I just walk around like, don't do that. Like, I don't have a bunch of pet peeves. There's some things.
There's a lot of times where you'll look at me and you'll be like,
you know what's getting under my skin?
You'll do that every time when we're hanging out. You'll dive in. But life's been good though. You have no pet peeves, nothing for the fans.
No, I'm solid, man. I'm just holding it down, taking it day by day. But nothing has happened as of late to where I could be like, yo, why the hell did that just happen? No, I've been pretty solid, man. I'm sure I'll think of it as soon as this pod ends. I'm like, you know what? That's how it works. Right. You put me on the spot right now, live, man. I don't know who I can really think of, but yeah, whatever.
It's all good. All right, take us home. Close us out. Do what you do.
Listen, it's been really fun, man. This has been a blast. We want to do more of these. We also eventually want to do a live feed where I'm in the same room as you, and we can actually like bring in maybe some live comments.
I want to engage. I like the buffer. I like this little social distancing. This is good. You go over there, I'm over here.
It's one thing for me to try to bring you up, but for you to try to bring me down in that same moment, it screams. I don't know. I don't like it. Here we are. Inside joke. Listen, I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, you got it. I'm killing it right now. They knew they'd love that. Listen, this has been great. We want to do more of this. Please continue to follow us. Like, subscribe. We're on Instagram, The Off Guard Podcast. We're on TikTok, giving you fresh takes, hot takes on basketball culture, sports culture, but obviously most specifically as we are obsessed with the NBA and basketball in general. This has been real. Y'all have a good night. It's late. Get some sleep. And we will see you guys soon, man. Y'all have a good one. We're out.